Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهدوا الناس إلى سبل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأن كان من قبل لفي ظلال مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وجمعة مباركة الحمد لله الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله صدق الله العظيم الله the mightiest has spoken the truth an expression of this the first half of the Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, ayah 34. An expression of it is, men are those who fulfill their responsibility to establish women by recognizing the favor of Allah by which He obligates them to the other and by what they spend for them from their wealth. So the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. A report attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, الدنيا متع وخير متع الدنيا متع الدنيا المرة المرة الصالحة. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. And it is reported that Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, said, The world is provision. And the best provision in the world is a righteous woman. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. Our subject today is the woman. Interesting, just a short point, call it a marginal point. We actually began the subject, manhood, masculinity, and the woman, 2019, January 2019. 2020, we had covered so much of it, but then COVID came. And since that time, we never got back to that subject, which was we were finishing the man, and we're just going into the woman. So this a portion of this subject has always been in the wings for almost 4 years, actually. But in honor, alhamdulillah, a very special event that's happening this weekend, I said, well, okay, let's talk about the woman because it is most critical, to put it lightly. In the first verse that we opened with, that portion that we read, الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men are the different translations. Men are the protectors, the maintainers, providers. Men are the leaders, what have you. Different translations of it, speaking about what the role of man is. So all that's going to differ depending on what the individual's emphasis is. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines man, we just look at these words as defining man, الرِّجَالَ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, and then it goes on, because he has given one favor over the other. And please understand, the Quran speaks about that favor as a daraja, and daraja, just it's a degree. But the daraja, when you get to the mazdar of that daraja, the mazdar, the root meaning of what that is, it's a lizard step. If you ever seen lizard footprints, you see the difference between one footprint of the lizard and the next one, it really ain't, it's not that big. But in the scheme of things, when we if you interpret Allah as saying that this gives man some kind of chauvinistic superiority over woman, that's where the problem lies. Allah has given one advantage over the other because of the physicality, but then that physicality, more than anything, is designed and it is given in order to use it for the benefit of the woman, not to use it as a mallet, literally and figuratively, to impose upon the woman. But that's not even the emphasis today. But understand that what Allah does in this verse, and Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best, Allah is the only one who knows, but he says, الرجال قوامون على النساء, and he said men are قوامون على النساء, and then he says because of this and because they do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling man, you are a man because of what you do. You are a man because of what you do. Wallahi, Allahu a'lam, I took out a whole list of 12 things that you can derive from just these words here. I said, no, the subject is not man today. The subject is woman. So I took that out. So there's a whole lot that I'm not saying with regard to the man, because I want to really take advantage of the time and be clear with regard to the woman. Because as Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, very early on, and what some of you know to be the transition from the nation of Islam to al-Islam, that he, by the grace of Allah, blessed us to move on to and into, there was a book that he published, Man and Woman in Islam. It was a very early book, paperback. Not much bigger than a pamphlet. But inside of that, he defined the woman, an-nisa. And he gave us a definition and said, because when you look at the history of the word itself, nisa and nas and the like, there are those who read it as coming from the same root. And then there is a debate as to whether the root of an-nas is in forgetting or if the root of an-nas is this sociability, which is really what the woman actually really represent. That being said, the Imam said, rahimahullah alayhi, he said that An-Nisa tells us that it's that which men have a tendency to forget and that which has a tendency to make men forget. There's a lot to that. Real quick, that which men tend to forget. You have these, we have these statements in this world where it say the man, a self-made man, right? The man acts and believes and feels as though all of his success is grounded in something that's just coming from him only. No. Even the term that is used for taking a mate, the term that is used for taking a mate, in its root meaning, and that's what we deal in. Well, what does it say in the base of reality? And it means a plant or a landmass enjoying the benefit of natural irrigation. A plant or a landmass enjoying the benefit of natural irrigation. And that is, there's water that is coming to that landmass. There's water that's coming to that plant life, and it is that water that provides the wherewithal that the plant gets its nutrients and that the plant bursts forth and that the plant germinates. Without that water, that would not happen. So this is why I'm very fond of using Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and how is it abbreviated? MR for Mr. and MRS for Mrs., right? MR in this connection, MR is masculine responsibility. You don't have the right to be called Mr. unless you have the receipts for fulfilling your masculine responsibility. And the masculine responsibility could not be as such without the spiritual support. So I have a tendency to say Mrs. is spelled M-R-S-S, period. Because it's masculine responsibility, spiritually supported. Show me a powerfully successful man that has no woman supporting him in his efforts, whether it be his mother, LeBron James, okay? And I know his wife has a lot to do. I'm not counting her out. But at the same time, some woman provided a spiritual support for his potential. And supporting that spiritual potential causes him to grow more and more and more. So consequently, the role that women play as a spiritual support for a man's success is often forgot. So men have the tendency to forget women. And also, on the other side of this, it goes both ways. The other side of it is women have the tendency to make men forget, right? I mean, we've had people, men, quote unquote, give up the nuclear codes just for the company of a woman. You know that, right? All right, we ain't finished yet, so. But on the very, how can I say, in the best way, women also have the tendency to make men forget not just their duty and responsibility if he forgets himself and his duty and responsibility, but speaking of a man who does remember his duty and his responsibility, but then that duty and that responsibility is sometimes so onerous, so burdensome, so difficult, so challenged, so stressful. When we have that, God says in the Quran, it says, among his signs that he created for you mates from your own selves that you might find tranquility in them. So the good woman, the righteous woman, tendency to make that man, oh, baby, don't worry about it. We got this. You're a good man. Does it sound like Khadijah when Prophet Muhammad received the revelation, he came down, oh, what's going on? What's happening? So she reassured him. She made him feel a sense of security, feel a sense of empowerment, feel a sense of restore him to his own sense of rightness. And to go beyond that also, it was her that confirmed for him in the midst of his, I hate to use the English word doubting, in that he just wasn't sure. It was a first time experience. But then when she went to her cousin, and then she took him to her cousin, Waraka, and he affirmed for him that what you have experienced is what the prophets before you have experienced, the great spirit that brings the revelation has brought you the revelation. Okay? Also, in our own history, Clara Muhammad, who was Clara Poole at the time, she was the one who took the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to Farad Muhammad so that he could benefit, and we historically now benefit from that choice and that work on her part out of the love and the care and the concern for her husband's excellence. She brought him to that, and the rest is history. So the role of that the woman plays in assuring and providing a foundation and providing spiritual support for a man who is willing to embrace his masculine responsibility, it is indispensable. It is indispensable. So, الرجال قوامون على النساء. Now, for as far as the woman is concerned, excuse me, let me check my time. Okay. Wasn't recording. Inshallah, hopefully everything is good on the Facebook side. The life goes on. Allah is in charge of everything. So in terms of this masculine responsibility, we want to focus now very particularly on women. So I'm saying to you that when Allah speaks of the man, he speaks of the man in terms of what he's to do. But when he speaks of the woman in this same verse, he speaks of her as she is. As she is. Okay? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتُ حَافِزَاتُ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفَظَ اللَّهِ. That is, so the righteous, so the translation says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ, أَصَّالِحَاتُ, because of the ta' maftuha, the ta' on the end of it, of course, you know, it's feminine, it's the woman. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ, أَصَّالِحَاتُ, so naturally you have to translate it as the righteous woman. But I want to point out to you the difference in that ar-rijal, that is very particularly saying the man or the men. A salihat doesn't particularly say the woman. In the hadith that we read, imra'at as-salihat. So now imra'at is a woman. Salihat, righteous. Righteous woman. So no imra'at in that verse, so, ayah 34. Not, it just says salihat. What is the implication? And the Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are explicit and implied meanings in every verse of the Quran. So the implicit of this is, okay, ar-rijal defined. They do. They do this. A salihat, woman not mentioned, that absence of the specific identification of the quote-unquote biological woman, the factual form of woman, is to say, Allahu Alam, is to say that there is no such thing as an unrighteous woman. Listen, slow, okay? Meaning that if that female is not righteous, then she loses the right to be called a woman in the scheme of Allah. She can be female, but she's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends if she's not righteous. So, okay, go back to the man. Maybe it'll help. Ar-rijala qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa. Here's a guy that said, okay, he's male. Yeah, I'm a man. Okay, good. Okay, bring the women that you've established. You stand over here. Stand over here. Now, bring the women that you've established. If you don't have that, then you don't qualify for the definition that Allah has ordered. You may qualify in this world. You may have babies all over the city. But that don't make you a man. You may have dollars from the floor to the ceiling. But if there's no woman that can speak for your integrity, your character, your dependability, your conscientiousness, if there's no woman that can be your witness, then your manhood is in question. Your manhood is in question according to the definition of God. Now, if you don't care about God's definition, okay. That's a whole other party. So God has said men are the ones who do this. Okay, now when he starts talking about the woman, he doesn't talk about, per se, what the woman in that first part, that's Farley has. He doesn't say, this is what women do. No. He's saying, this is what a woman is. It's her way of being. My phone thinks I fell and I can't get up. So to finish this portion of it, Starley has on it, and we'll speak of that when we conclude. But I just want to make the point that Allah is implying to us in his creation. If a woman is not righteous, by his definition, she's not a woman. Now, just watch this phrase. Are there not in this world, and the market sells them to us, a whole lot of pretty, unrighteous women? Oh, you're pretty, but you are unrighteous. And then you can put it together. I'm not working with my nouns, adverbs right now. I'm looking at Doc, he would tell me. But the point is, there are some pretty unrighteous women. You can put it like that. They're pretty unrighteous, right? They're pretty unrighteous. So therefore, are they women? By Islamic definition, no. There's a term, tabarruj. Look it up. We have many women who are tabarruj, and that's what's being sold in the world, and that's what's being promoted in the world. And that's what we have to be mindful of, because we want to have righteous men and we want to have righteous women. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. The hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the world is provision. الدنيا ماتعون. The world is provision. And it says, and the best provision, وخير ماتعي الدنيا خير ماتعي الدنيا المرأة الصالحات. الدنيا, this world. So God is saying that it's through the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he's speaking, representing the reality. So he said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, this ad-dunya is provision. One day I was walking in a park where there's a pond, whatever, and there's a cherry tree. There's a cherry tree in a public park. Just walk up and eat the cherries. I mean, now tell me also, that's really a marvelous thing. That Allah just provides food for you on a branch. And then when you start talking about cotton, you got Allah growing clothing material on a branch. And just everything else is provision. But then the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of provision is a righteous woman. Now, I got to tell you now, if you don't have one or haven't had one, or well, you might not say, I have no idea what it's doing. She ain't all that. They ain't all that. Yes, they are. Get you one. Wallahi, I'm telling you, you know I get in fat. I know some of y'all kind of like, boy, he's really loud, isn't he? Hey, Welcome to Bilalian land. You know, that's how we go at it. Listen, if you've ever had a righteous woman, you know, you take what the prophet said, you say amen. Or you say amen, whichever one works for you, you know. No, it's just true. It's just true. And that's why I always long for my so heavily potentiated brothers. As brothers, man, you are a treasure waiting for that top to be opened up. You're just full of treasure. You're just full of power. You're full of potential. You're full of gifts that you can bring to the world. But I just have to say, the way Allah has structured it, male and female are like lock and key. I'm a lock and a key for her, and she's a lock and a key for me. And when I come into the form that Allah created me to come into by these definitions such as we've spoken of today, when I come more true to the form of what that represents, I become the key that unlocks her potential that Allah has gifted her for me in this world. And likewise, when she comes into the form that Allah created and intended for her, she becomes the key that unlocks me. Since that rhymes, I'll take it that way. She becomes the key that unlocks me. And then my treasures that Allah put in, she didn't put them in me. Allah put them in me. I didn't put them in her. Allah put them in her. But Allah made us mutually, ba'dahum li ba'd, made us mutually responsible. Now you open him up, and you open her up, and y'all see what I did inside of both of you. Allahu Akbar. And then you'll realize, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The grace of Allah. But if you forget the woman, if you forget the significance of the woman, if you forget the grace that Allah has put in the woman, let me get to this one word that's hanging there, and we're going to just have to finish up. Qanit, was salihah to qanit. Right, the righteous woman is qanit. A lot to be said about that. But when you understand the words, qunut is a prayer that we make. Qunut is a prayer that we make. And what's inside of that meaning, what's inside of its meaning is long-standing in prayer. I'm giving you the briefest of definitions. Long-standing, because I want to make the connection. Ar-rijala qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. When we stand for prayer, we make the iqama, and then we stand up. The first position that we're standing in is qiyam. Qiyam, that's the standing position, right? So ar-rijala qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa, it means also that men are the establishers of women. That's our responsibility, right? So, but then qunut also carries in it, not as concretely as standing up physically, but spiritually. She's standing up. She's devoted. She's humble. She's submitted. She's committed to service and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a kawamuni aspect to her in her righteous state, and the kawamuna state for him. So when she stands up in her spirituality in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he stands up in his responsibility as a male, and they both stand together, she spiritually supporting and him physically obeying what Allah has ordered, that's that pair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reproducing, and that's where the power comes into the world, and that takes both of us living out the life that Allah has ordered for us. So this qanit also connects us to the nature of things in creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُولُ لَهُ قَنُودٌ. Says, To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. All are to him devoutly obedient. Same word. That's in Asfalihat Qanit. So what is there? There's a corollary between the nature of the woman and the nature of creation. There's a corollary between the nature of the woman and the nature of creation. I know I'm saying a lot in these last moments here. However, I have to leave it with you because Allah has revealed what he has revealed. So the righteous woman, which is the best of ad-dunya, the best of ad-dunya, this righteous woman, she is kunut. Do you understand that ad-dunya is everything that we can see with our eyes and that the Hubble telescope and the Webb telescope going out there to see anything that's possible for us to see with our eyes is all a part of ad-dunya. Ad-dunya is not just cars and money and homes. No, ad-dunya is this universe that we're in. This is level one of seven levels. As far as it goes, this is level one. And here Allah is saying to us, of all the provision that the universe makes, the best in it. Do you understand what I'm saying now? God's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says the best provision in the universe is a righteous woman. Is that somehow too much? They put too much on it. No, that's it. So what is good for our women in terms of bringing them to and facilitating their realization and actualization of what Allah has engendered in them, that's what's good for us. That's what's good for us. And when we don't do what is best for them, that's what's bad for us. I want to tell you, so you've already seen it, but I'm going to tell you, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it as we conclude. This little documentary is there, What is a Woman? If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Because this world is crazy when it comes to what is a woman. It don't even know. Wallahi, that's what the whole documentary is about. You got people protesting, they want this, they want that, et cetera. And the man got one question, one. What is a woman? And all the time is different crazy answers. I'm not even going to try to give any of them crazy answers. But for us as Muslims, and for us, our way of life, Deen al-Fitr, God tells us what a woman is. And God tells us what a man is. Our challenge is living true to Allah's definition of man and woman. The problem in the world is that very failure. The failure of biological males, biological females, to know and act in alignment with Allah's definition of what is a man and what is a woman. So may Allah have mercy on us, guide us, and protect us from our shortcomings. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sanatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a. Wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wal-ard wa la ya'uduhu hifdhuhuma wa huwa 'aliyyul 'azhim. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for our creation. We thank you for the nature that you have created in us. Allah, please bless us to open that package of our original nature. Bless us to live in the definition that you have given to us as men and women. Oh Allah, bless us to achieve that way of life that would help us to realize the ummah that you have charged us all to establish. Oh Allah, bless our events of the weekend. Bless the women to be enlightened, to be encouraged, to be empowered, to be guided, to be encouraged. Bless them to achieve the aims that are good for the human being, that are good for society. Bless us to better understand each other. Bless us to better understand your plan for us. Bless us, O Allah, to be true to what you have revealed, both in your book and in our nature. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold us but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, I would like to Imam Yusuf, tafadl min fadl. Yes, Imam Yusuf is the host this weekend of our very special guest, which I hope to introduce you to. Right here, Mustafa. I figure you would defer for somebody, but so whoever you defer to, they'll lead the prayer. If you lead the prayer, you lead the prayer. It's on you now. You good? Okay. Alhamdulillah. I'll be back. You go ahead.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired, and when I knew I had to face another day,
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. Thank you for joining us this morning. The University of Men's Leadership. Just aired yesterday's recording of Jumma Live, Masjid Warthin. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for it. We look forward to getting more into that subject. As I mentioned at the beginning, we had started back in 19. So those of you in touch with Blog Talk, you go back to the January, February 2019, and you can pick up on that subject. I think the subject started something on the title of manhood and the deterioration of masculinity in modern times, or something. You know me. So Friday, Saturday. So I think we finished like it was 14. This is no boast. It's just always so much to say. That you just got to break it up. You know, it's like, how do you eat an elephant, right? You know, one bite at a time.
So, mashallah, you know, we're in this, we're going to do this till we die, inshallah, inshallah. There's so much to be said, but I will say this. I'm going to put a little pressure on myself in goodness. It's like there's so many books that just, and now with the benefit of these different AI, these different technologies that can do things faster, I was just, mashallah, in all humility, so much material. But now you have these AIs where you can just create the master document, it'll make the book. So inshallah, we'll make that happen. There are a lot. So I think we're in a position to do it now. I just have to discipline myself to just, isolate, separate, okay, stack, and then now process, stack, then process. And just very, very critical topics. So much of that. So I look forward to that. And alhamdulillah, we're going to put much out there, because a part of what happens with me, you all know this, those of you who hang out with me regularly, sometimes, I get motor mouthed a bit. So it's like, okay. And you want to catch up with it. So sometimes, obviously, you go back and listen to it, those who do. But then if you had it in writing, it would be so much easier to keep up. And then now to put it in an ebook makes it even easier. And I'm gonna put you up on something else now. You need to look into perplexity.ai or perplexity AI. I think there may be a premium on it, a subscription thing, but it depends on how much you use information services and how much what you do depends on, a depth of information. Because, the beautiful thing is, we used to think about Wikipedia. We know about the weakness of Wikipedia. And AI, it can't be absolutely trusted. Don't think that, whatever AI, ChatGPT or whatever gives you back, it's like you can absolutely trust it. No, you can trust but verify, especially if you're not, if you're saying, that don't quite sound right. But the point is that, a wheel is a labor-saving device. A crowbar is a labor-saving device, right? A jack, the one like AAA uses when they come to get your car. That fire, labor-saving device, Okay, well, AI is a labor-saving device, right? It doesn't mean that you don't have to use your brain. It just gives you more freedom to do other things with your thinking in terms of that. But the database for the information that you're going to structure into whatever it is that you're trying to clarify for your audience, then is very useful. I'm saying don't miss that. Don't miss that, take advantage of it. Don't be afraid of it. As I think they say, lean into it, right? So I do have some other points that I want to bring to add to this, but I'm not going to do that until after I hear from you. And then there's what I want to talk about is qanit and qanit. Qanit and qanit. That sounds very similar, right? So inshallah, we'll get to that. It's just so very important, especially for women. It's for all of us, but especially for women. A song coming to mind right now, there's a thin line between love and hate, right? Thin line between love and hate. But there's a thin line between calling it with the t, like alphabet, ta, and on it all. Unless you're really, really deliberate about it, you'll be saying one thing, thinking you're saying one thing and you're actually saying the other. And it has a lot of psychological significance, emotional significance, and life significance. But enough of that for now. Anybody have comments that they'd like to make, input that you'd like to give before we move on down the road? Push one on your phone and come on through, okay? All right, all the protocols are still in place. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute listenership. Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And want to commend you on a part, excellent khutbah. And I see this as the introductory to subsequent more in terms of the role of the woman and how you should identify the woman. It's so ironic that 2 weeks ago.
Mark.
Yes, sir.
Brother Mark. Hello. Brother asked me for the number online. You're so dependable for phone numbers. I'm going to ask you
numbers.
My phone number for the blog talk.
For your phone number? Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Email Fahim's number to call in is 319-527-6176. I'm going to repeat it one more time. 319-527-6176. And that'll put you right into his production.
I appreciate it. Sorry for the interruption. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You know, when you can't see, I just thank Allah for good memory.
For the memory.
Yes, sir. So, about 2 weeks ago, I didn't want to do a monologue because always dialogue is better, but the guest didn't show up, and I decided to talk about role, responsibility of the woman, and everything. And so that's why I say I want to commend you, because it was so much substantive information that you gave, and it's always best. I have to endorse this. And, you know, I'm not an imam, but I understand and realize the importance of knowing the Quranic Arabia, the terminology is so much more in that than even if you get a good expression of it. I have to say that in that regard. But oftentimes the role and responsibility of the man is actually given, but as if and though that there is no obligation or responsibility on the woman. And I have a question at the end of this. And a question is in terms of the connection that's there, the inference, if you will, the implicit there, that if, in fact, that a woman gets a God-conscious man conforming to what God's word, will, and way is for him to perform his role and responsibility, then therefore she has to be also God-conscious in terms of that role and responsibility too, and as you so eloquently articulated, the righteous woman, and that really gives definition to that, but also devoutly obedient to Allah too. And I don't want to get ahead, but I do know, and you're going to, I know you're going to get to it, and guard in his absence what Allah would have her to guard. I saw the similarity that was there in terms of her role also being a role of protecting and also maintaining, but on a different level and a kind of parallel. So I just want to get your insight in terms of that, because whereas it's more graphic in terms of the man's role, more abstract in terms of the woman's role, but there is a similarity. It's what I was seeing and what I was saying, you know, on my production 2 weeks ago, but you just really bringing it out more of the spiritual, the support that has to happen, and how each one interacting consciously, I'm putting the emphasis on consciously, it brings out the best in terms of the potential that Allah has deposited into each. I'll stop there. I know I'm at the 3-minute mark, so I'll stop there. I ain't gonna let you get me, man. Fahim Schwab.
like Sandman live at the Apollo, right? No, you're good, brother. It's all right. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're gonna go on and touch on it. Thank you so much for your input and
thank you, brother, man. I'm gonna be listening every weekend, inshallah. Still dealing with our weekend school, trying to help out. So I'm not good at multitasking, but I will be tuned in. Listen, thank you so much. I appreciate all that you give to the community in helping us to understand our creation. I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Shukran. Alhamdulillah. Another opportunity for anyone who has comments that you'd like to bring before we carry on. Go ahead, push one on your phone, come on through. It'd be nice to hear from a woman. Do you have any women that would like to make a comment before we close out this side of it? Because, you know, once I take off, I take off. And I'm not looking at the studio or anything. All right. Auction off the opportunity. Going once, it's for males or females, man or woman. Going twice. All right. Well, I'm gone. All right. So, alhamdulillah, let's just touch on what I'll go ahead and do. I'll put my the khutbah notes, the ones that I was quote unquote looking at while I was presenting yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and put those on the screen so you can just follow along with me in that way. Really, really, really want to get back to that. You know, I think that the subject that I had been doing with regard to charity, that's the section of verses 259. Well, actually, I started at 261. But the reach, actually, I understand now, I believe now, that it actually started with the man that came to a hamlet that was torn down and said, how can this be brought back to life? That ayah, 259, actually to the end of the Surah Al-Baqarah, that whole thing, in my view, and one special take, is about sadaqah, zakat, and spending on yourself and the whole universe of how charity plays in and how sadaqah plays in and how zakat plays in and how giving plays into your development as a soul, right? But I think it's gonna, just based on the way that life's moving right now, it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to stack that over there with, you know, other subjects that are gonna have to be finished out, inshallah, and life goes forward. Because there are so many other things that, I mean, it's all interrelated, obviously, but I need to get focus attention to some other things. Even like this piece about the woman, right? It's like I said, I'm going to say conservatively, I'm going to split the difference. I think we had done maybe like 16 or 17 Friday subjects, so that means there's 16 or 17 Saturday subjects that goes with the same. This is no boast, I'm just telling you, and that was just really dealing with the man. We had just begun to deal with the woman, and then COVID came, and that changed everything. But inshallah, please, 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 make dua for me, and that Allah bless us to put that into most certainly an ebook. I'm not really so focused on a hardback books per se, but we can get it into an ebook so that you'll be able to get it. And it's mashallah. It's like, okay, let me get on. Like this right here. So we did this on the woman, right? And so we have Quran, Hadith, Sirah, different stories. This is the set of notes from this past Friday, right? And I didn't even get into this. This is mashallah. Please understand, this is no boast. As far as I got, it's what's right here on this first page. But mashallah, every time I prepare, okay, you can say it stops right here. Every time I prepare, you know, Juma, mashallah, I have a set of notes. Minimum, there's often minimum 3 pages. And as a general rule, mashallah, I tend to get through maybe, but especially now with doing this round figure 30, 35 minute khutbah, I get to maybe one page. So what that means is if there are 16 and actually to that extent 32 when you add Friday and Saturday together, I consider Friday and Saturday as a unit, then that means that there's like 32 sets of notes, potentially on the average, two-thirds of them that have not been covered, but the research is very good. I mean, this is no boast, but it's like I go get stuff and say, man, I hope that I can say this. Yeah, I hope that I can do it. So that means that history is a whole lot of unexpressed notes, very good research, solid, you know, hadith, Quran, you know, some qawaid, some grammar, and this and that. Very, very good. So my energy right now is like, I just want to share, because I know that you're studying, and I know that you all of us who are sincere to the legacy and language and logic of Imam Wahabi, I mean, you want that lockdown stuff, and I need to stop this editorial and give you a little bit more as we go. So let's just get to it. So you know this verse here. Al-Rijal, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-rajim. Al-Rijal qawwamuna ala nisa'i bima fadlallahu ba'duhum ala ba'd wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim. Fas-salihatu qanitatu hafizatu lil-ghaybi bima hafizallah. And then the rest of the verse would continue there, but I'm just dealing with the first two sentences. An expression of it is, men are those who fulfill their responsibility to establish women by recognizing the favors of Allah by which he obligates them to the other. That is, each one of us is mutually obligated to each other. Ba'adahum ala ba'ad. Right? Each one of them is obligated to the other, and by what they spend for them from their wealth. I'm not trying to elaborate on the male aspect of it, but it's very, very, there's a dozen responsibilities that go along with that. It spends on them. Yeah, first stop is money. That's first stop. But there are other things, yes. Yeah, all the other human resources, care, concern, sense of responsibility, you know, communication, you know, literally communicate. Stop, spend some time talking to your mate. And don't mean you have to always be talking. Just close your mouth, and let her talk. Just let her talk. But don't have wax in your ears, and my figurative expression, we all got wax in our ears, because you need it. But, in fact, listen to make the connection. So that's another subject. Let's go on to the woman's piece of it. So righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah, guarding in their husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. And ever so briefly, just mentioning in passing, is not just the chastity dimension of it, it also has to do with guarding her husband's reputation, guarding her husband's integrity, you know, guarding her husband's secrets, you know, and all everything that goes with that, one way or the other, you know. You know, don't get into a situation where you're oversharing about your husband, TMI, too much information. It's like, no, you have to protect that. So some of the things you say can be used against them to undermine whatever, if they're in a position of responsibility, you could be undermining their authority, you can be undermining their perception, you know, you can be, you know, creating bad optics for him, you know, you, so many other things that are to be guarded in that respect, right? So much for that. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it says, "الدنيا متعن وخير متع الدنيا المرة الصالحات المرة الصالحات." صدق رسول الله وصدق الله العظيم القرآن. The translation and expression of it is, the world is provision, and the best provision in the world is a righteous woman. Really, this is not hyperbole. Look it up. This is the prophet, as the messenger of God, telling for all time, okay, the world is provision. And now we know ad-dunya. Ad-dunya means everything in the universe that you and I are going to live and live, that we were brought into and that we're going to die out of, quote unquote. This is our universe, right? This is our universe. You know, again, this endless, quote unquote, space that the boundaries of which have not been reached. The 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 levels of the universe, it's not in this universe whose ends we have not reached. I'm really, really hoping we're getting that. But we're in the universe. Let's imagine real quick. Imagine somebody got to the end of this universe. When they got to the end of this universe, they have gotten to the end of level one. They have gotten to the end of level one. There are 6 more levels to go, according to the Isra wa Mi'raj. So that ad-dunya is this universe. Huh? Now listen to this verse here, where seek what the means that Allah has made available to you, the life that comes after this life. So there's a life after you and I, we exit, quote unquote, this three-dimensional reality of this universe that we are in. We are exiting level one. But Allah says, don't forget your share of level one. How much of this very brief existence that we have on this plane are we wasting? Thinking about, talking about, fretting about what? You're about to exit. You're going to exit this, and of its blessings, which of the favors, which of the 2 favors of your Lord would you deny twice? Imam Muhammad says, I've given you 2 gardens, blah, blah, blah. How much of it are we getting the benefit of? And this is just level one. But this is a place where God is saying, all this is yours. What are we doing to get our share of it? You know, that's a whole other subject, because you can spend your life fretting about, they done stole this and they done took that and they cheat us here and they lied about that and they always manipulating this and wood. Come on. Yeah, all of that. What about Allah? What about God? What about your potential? What about your relationship to the universe and all of what it makes available to you that transcends any kind of global power that has established itself in appearance as being indefeatable or insurmountable? Wait a minute. What does this Allahu Akbar, what does that mean? But Allahu Akbar? I'm going to get off of that. and go back to the woman. This Lord and his messenger has said to us, this universe, level one of seven, that you haven't reached the end of it, it at dunya is all provision. This Lord, his messenger, says to us, the best of the provisions in this world, at dunya, remember how big at dunya is, how much stuff is in at dunya, how much stuff. Think about the periodic chart, right? The periodic chart that tells you what everything is made up of. So that means in the universe, this is all the stuff, the types of stuff that's in there. At least the one that we have access to so far. Out of all that stuff and all of what that stuff can do and all the benefits that that stuff brings to you, there is something that's better than all the other stuff in the universe, and that's a righteous woman. I'm serious, man. It's like, I don't know, whatever, man, mashallah, may Allah protect me, may Allah guide me, may Allah keep me straight, and you never know what's going to happen, but you have to keep Allah in the dua. But I am going to say this for this moment because I'm good right now. So I'm telling you, get off of whatever, whoever is selling you and telling you about whether that selling and telling is from within you or from outside of you, you need to get off of whatever causes you to delay getting married or respecting your marriage or holding your marriage or improving your marriage. You got to get off of that. You got to get off of that. You got to get off of that. You got a job to do that goes with the body you were created in order to realize the aim of Allah for humanity in ad-dunya. وَلْتَقُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. You have to build ummah. And a part of the building material for ummah is marriage. I'm going to take it down a notch. You know, it's like, take it down. I get it. And I understand. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, there's no bulls. Y'all already know. We're 51 years in. That's Yolanda and I in our marriage. But Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, I do. I recognize Allah is most gracious, most merciful. 10th grade, 11th grade, mashallah. You know, I don't know what the count is or how rare, what the percentage is that, but I thank Allah, you know, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. What can I say? Allah did it, you know. So that you have to, in order to get out of you what's in you, it ain't coming. It's not coming by other means. Being a monk, no, all due respect. Nah. Being ascetic, whatever. You know, I mean, look, no disrespect. You got Muslims who think that, you know, abstaining from all things in the world. They don't call it being a monk. They don't call it being that way, but it's the same stuff in essence. But let me pull it back. So Allah has, the Prophet just told us, man. So it's like, okay, if you're having hesitations, if you're having, this is the point that I'm actually going at also. Listen, these 51 years of marriage, let's go with that. These 51 years of marriage, man, it's like, it hasn't been a roller coaster in essence. No, it hasn't been a roller coaster. The nature of life has its ups and downs. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's been a, well, maybe I need to divorce. That has never, mashallah, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that never became. Oh, but there was a time where she left with it. Now, this was in my FOI days. Real quick. In my FOI days, you know what I'm saying? We were, you know, building a nation, you know, I'm selling papers and selling fish, but baby needs shoes. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, that guy, I got a big story on that, but we're not going to tell that. Maybe it's an autobiography. I've told it before. But I don't need to go through it right now. But the point is that she said, well, okay, I'm going to my mother's house. And when you get it worked out, let me know. This was an MGP. And I've been lying. I've been lying to me. So sometimes, who knows? I know that's one of the things that happened for me. And I got it worked out, right? So I'm not making any recommendations. I'm just telling you what happened in my life, but that was the FOI life. Nothing like that has ever appeared since 1975, and actually before that, 74, what have you. Any case, so in terms of the challenges, that's why I want to get to. In fact, there's a subject, one part of the female subject, I haven't gotten to it. It was what he calls it, I've chambered the round for that, excuse that analogy, but it's like the positive side of the negative in the woman. That's coming somewhere. I don't know. I don't know where. I don't know when. I don't know. But I'm telling you, the positive side of the negative in the woman, right? You got to watch out for, you know, words. I really don't like that, but the triggering, I get it, but I don't like it. But it's used. So sometimes it's fitting. What I'm saying is, like, when I say the positive side of the negative woman, right? So somebody, when I said negative, and that's a man. But then you got the woman, what you mean negative in the woman, right? Well, we both have positive and negative in us by nature. We both have positive and negative in us by nature, yin and yang, right? And listen, how do you make progress when you're driving on a car, okay? But driving on a car, when you're driving on the road, how do you make progress? It's the resistance between the tire and the road. Black ice is when there's no resistance. Tires, no traction, so therefore you can't direct, you can't control. You just sit there until you bump into whatever you're going to bump into. That's just black ice, right? But when the road is clear, you're able to advance because of the friction, right? So friction in relationships has the effect of moving the relationship forward if you understand how to relate to the friction and the role that it plays, right? I mean, how does a match give you its light? Friction. You know, the potential is always there, but you're never going to see that potential expressed until the right friction comes up. I don't know. Maybe that's why they call it a match. The right match, then you get the illumination. Then sometimes we get overcome by the friction, you know. We fail to identify the role of the friction. And the point is to recognize friction is a natural part of the marriage piece. There's nothing about marriage. You litaskunu ileha, in order that you might find peace and tranquility in it. For the purpose of, that's the aim. The purpose is to get to that tranquility. But you've got to go through the progress needed to get to that tranquility. And to get to that tranquility, you've got to get through the friction, right? And the friction is playing the role of resolving matters that need to be resolved, creating a I'm going to call it, if it's talking with one, you know, kind of like an emotional momentum. But even when you talk about, you know, a gyroscope, or if you talk about centripetal and centrifugal force, right? Or riding a bicycle, right? Riding a bicycle is like, you remember how it was when you're trying to learn how to ride a bicycle. Yeah. You have your feet on the ground, and then you try to put your foot on the pedal, and then you lose your balance, and you figure it out. And then one day, you just start pedaling, and it's like, hey, it's good. It's like riding a bicycle. Okay. Well, sometimes that's how marriages are. Yeah, not sometimes. That's how marriages are. Right? So, I learned how to ride a bicycle. You're going to fall. You're going to scrape your knee. Now, hopefully, no more injury worse than that from the bicycle perspective. But that's what will happen in relationships. Okay, but what did you learn? What did you learn? In terms of that, right? So in terms of, I'm saying that all this goes into the context of a righteous woman, right? That's what you want, right? And she wants, because one of the stories I was saying, I played Dick Franklin on the other side of the Blog Talk side. But, you know, if you want a do-right woman, you got to be a do-right man. That's Aretha all over again. And if you saw her biopic in terms of that, you know, Aretha went through some stuff. Right, but see, that's also what makes a person what they are. I don't know. Somebody said your scars are what makes you who you are, or what you are, something like that. Point is that everybody has stuff that they have to go through, and the stuff that they go through is the stuff that makes them, especially if they're admirable, is what we appreciate and what we admire. Right. And those ugly results are people who basically failed to make the right choices in the light of what it was that they're facing. Well, I'm saying my brother. Obviously I'm talking to you, but I think that when men check out on women, please, I'm not being blanket on everybody. This doesn't apply to everybody in a specific way, but let me please understand from experience and from study and out of sincerity too. So it's like, this is not just, y'all know me. The point is this. Many men can't stand the heat of, see, it's right there. The Quran says among your wives and your children are a fitna, right? And we have such a limited view of the idea of fitna that it's like, and there's verses in the Quran that also say there's some of them that are enemies to you. Okay, well, that's, you know, that's another party. But then also the fitna is also related to fitan, right? Fitan is the purification of ore, right? So you have gold. Gold is the latter ground. It's mixed with impurities and then in the pure gold. Well, it has to be put into the furnace and smelted, what have you, so that the scum and the ore, the non-gold, the impurities rise to the top. That's scraped off. And so now what's left is pure metals. And the Quran talks about that illustratively as an example. That's the way it is. Okay, and wallahi, marriage, there's somewhere in alchemy. I don't have it in front of me right now, but somewhere in alchemy, the idea, yeah, look that up. You know, what is alchemy? Look it up. When you, one part of this process where the idea is trying to go from lead to gold, that's the analogy, that's the metaphor, that's what that's about, right? How do you take lead to gold? And getting past the physical, don't trip on the physical, don't get stuck in the physical, because the physical is just hiding the abstract, the wisdom, the metaphysical. And that's talking about how do you get a man from his state of impurity, i.e. his state of lack of development, up to his highest development. So lead is the lower and gold is the highest. And so all the quote-unquote chemical aspects that are represented in this process is about man moving from there to there. One part of that alchemical process is a place where where two elements, I think sulfur is one of them, but don't worry about it. I'm just trying to get to this point where it's a symbol. It is actually a symbol of marriage, and it's in that symbol of marriage this encasement that you can't escape, but it's pressure, it's heat, it's compression, it's stressful, what have you, from you know, human terms, but it's in that process that the purification happens, right? And that's like the nature of marriage, right? There's a statement that in the traditional oath in the West, given, it says for rich and for poor and sickness and health, whatever, till death do us part, right? That's like an oath that you're making. Why do you need such an oath, right? One of the reasons you need such an oath, this is what the wise who established that as a principle in marriage in the West, is that, you need to take kind of oath, and you need to swear not to break that oath. Because you're about to go into something that you're going to have to face some heat. You're going to have to face some challenges. You're going to have to face some difficulties. You're going to have to, there's some serious forks in the road that you're going to come to in this thing that you're entering into. But you have to swear that you're not going to jump out of it, get away from it, right? Because when you bring God into the picture, when you say, I'm talking about West and quote unquote us as Muslims, it's like marriage is for God, right? When you understand the total mission of humanity, you're not marrying for her. When you understand the mission for humanity, you're not marrying her for her, and you're not marrying him for him exclusively. You think Allah, that's a benefit, that's a wonderful, and that's not, there's nothing, how can you say, insensitive about what I'm saying. There's a level of transcendence where when you recognize that the marriage belongs to Allah, then you're saying, I'm marrying for Allah. I'm marrying for Allah. Why? Because the potential in me and the potential in her and the plan that Allah has for our humanity and the moving forward of the plan of God for humanity calls for the fruit of our union to be able to receive the inheritance of who and what her and I, excuse the grammar, are. Maybe it might be right. I don't know. This sounds better than what her and I is. So I have to say what her and I are. And create these vessels where I take the knowledge that has and the character representation that has evolved in me, and she takes the knowledge in her from her experience and from her existence, and then we pour it into the next generation. And then the next generation, right? Then the next generation is at a higher plane of civility, a higher plane of character, a higher plane of knowledge, a higher plane of conviction and commitment. They have greater capacity and predisposition to access more of this ad-dunya, more of this universe, metaphysically and physically. It's a project in service to Allah. Look at the stories of the prophets, and look at the prophets' wives. And no, I know we have some that were on, some that were off. It's a model. But I'm talking specifically about the ones that are on now. What about Aisha radiallahu anha and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so in terms of that role of marriage, that the oath that's taken, because there's going to be heat and pressure and fitna, but fitna is fitan, it's purification. Another model to understand that, and it's marriage, right? You have some people who. You don't hear that literally. The old ball and chain. People have to talk about it like that. Old ball and chain, right? So it's a statement like, I'm imprisoned. On one level, yeah, you are, in the sense of, okay, if you respect that, it's like, okay, I'm in, what have you. Obviously, there's a lot of details going on, but I can't detail it. But in terms of that old ball and chain, you're committed, you're locked in, you're honoring, respecting that, right? And the oath in Christianity, Christianity, whatever, and those who marry with that oath-like statement, you're saying, I'm locked in. I'm locked in, right? And for Muslim understand. We talked about the best in the dunya is a righteous woman. We're listening to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about divorce. He said the most hated halal, the Prophet, peace be upon him, the most hated halal is divorce. This is from Allah, that Allah said the most hated halal is divorce. So that's kind of like God saying, okay, if you have to, then, but I don't like it. Allah, but I don't like it, right? So like, in the context of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sort of like, it's like, okay, I marry for the sake of Allah's plan in terms of, yes, I love my wife. Yes, I love my husband. Yes, we get the benefit of it. Yes, we live in this life together. But above and beyond all of that, wal takum minkum ummah. We're supposed to be building ummah. And we're supposed to be making life better going forward by contributing to the body of us as Muslims, contributing to it life in the form of our children and in the form of what they inherit from us, of model and example and yes, and wealth, et cetera, so they can build higher and higher and make ummah more and more established and the values of God more and more extended in the world. That's the mission. Like, the mission is not, man, I got to live in the right zip code, I got to have a house of so many square feet, I got to, whatever. No, it's serving humanity going forward in the future. Okay, so in terms of my brothers, like, yeah, your wife, she can say stuff that irritates you, and you say stuff that irritates her, too. And sometimes she lets you know it. Maybe sometimes she don't, right? Maybe but in those final moments, she finally blows up. And sometimes, male, we do the same thing. So that's a part of the package. It's not like I should never hear anything from my wife that I don't like to hear. You know, there's stuff that she's going to say, and there's stuff that she's going to say on a regular basis that you don't want to hear, right? However, hearing and listening, two different things, right? There's things that she could say, but you got to ask yourself, what are you hearing and are you listening, right? Because, see, a part of the fitna, the fatan, the purification, the Bible talks about help meet, right? Help meet. Why is it called help meet? Because she's going to show you something about yourself that you did not see before. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the woman by nature, and it's like you can feel however kind of way you want to feel about it, mashallah, I'm not being cavalier about it. I'm very serious about all of this. It's like, she don't even know. If she doesn't understand her own nature, that's what I'm going back to the positive side of the negative in the woman. Negative from a cognitive perspective, blah blah blah. You talk about constructive criticism. Let's go with that. Constructive criticism, right? So some of the things that women, our wives, will say to us that we don't feel like hearing. Maybe she didn't say it in the way that we would prefer for her to say it, but sometimes with her, just like with us, it just comes natural for her to say what she said, the way she said it, when she said it. It's just natural for her, and it's not always malicious. It's not always malicious, but again, on our male perspective, we have to be in touch with ourselves well enough to know how we respond to certain things and ways and timing that she says this. So, but then the self-management, the self-awareness said, you know, sorry, I've got to use the dumb word again, triggered, right? So it's like, but if you're not aware of yourself and the way that you respond to certain ways, that she may come to you or at you, then you can, you know, go off the rails in whatever way you go off the rails. And what I'm saying is that That happens. Yes, it happens. But maybe take it like this. You got the World Series going on, right? So it's like, you're at bat. You're at bat. Okay, here comes the pitch. You know, you have a few you have a microsecond or so to make a decision. Are you going to swing? Are you not going to swing, right? In the context of, you know, how are you reading what's coming at you? And if you don't read it right and you read it wrong, then it can become a strike against the relationship, right? And so this self awareness and this self control and this self management becomes like, that don't feel good. I don't like to hear that. But stop, freeze frame, stop. Okay, let's say this is coming from her nature to be critical, because one of the roles of her nature is to improve the life that she's connected with, whether it be the children or whether it be the man. Listen, and Nisa, it actually means the socializer. Man has become civilized in whatever civilization we have, has everything to do with the women who have been the motive force for the men who have built the world. You know, we have this common phrase, you know, for every great man, behind every great man is a great woman, something like that. And then you also have, you know, he who rocks the cradle controls the world, something like that. Whatever. There's some value in that. The role of the woman is not insignificant by any stretch. And God has put it in her nature to watch out for what's good and watch out for what's bad. And let me give you a psychological term for it. I'll give you a minute, you know, by my saying it now, that you look into it and get comfortable with it, because it is a part of your quote-unquote nature, your natural makeup. And it's called neurotic. Neurotic. Usually when we hear about neurotic, it's like, oh, man, he's so neurotic. It's like we just take it as a purely pathological thing. Neuroticism, don't get it twisted. Neuroticism is a phase. There's this thing, I think they call it the Big Five. And it changes. These are just little models that I use to help us get an understanding of ourselves, right? Yeah, whatever, secular science. Don't make the mistake of thinking because of secular science, you know, we don't need to pay attention to that. But that's part of our problem right now. We don't understand well enough the science that has come to the world by researching human nature to take benefit from it. All knowledge that is knowledge is the property, the lost property of the believer. But let's move away from that. So you have the Big Five, ocean, right? This is extemporaneous right now, so let me see if I can remember. It's OCEAN. Okay, somebody else look it up, and then you add it in there. So it's openness, conscientiousness, extroversion. Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. These are five critical areas that, in some measure, make us in our personality who we are. So neuroticism is a critical aspect. Just like we have bacteria in our body, for analogy. We have bacteria in our body, right? You don't want to get rid of all the bacteria in your body. Most of the time when we hear bacteria, bacteria, right? No, you better have some bacteria in your body, because that bacteria has a role to play in your body to keep you healthy. Okay, well, neuroticism, all of us have some neuroticism. That neuroticism serves a purpose. Now, it can be excessive. Now it's pathological. And see, and this is what happens when any of us, males or females, but since I'm talking about the woman, women are by nature more on the scale of neuroticism, higher on the scale of neuroticism. What is neuroticism? Sensitive to the negative. sensitive to the negative. Let's put it like that. Meaning that, why you say it like that? How come you ain't saying nothing? Whatever the case may be, it could be any number of things, right? Because she's alert to threats. Why does she have to be alert to threats? By nature. Because she's responsible for the vulnerable, sensitive life by nature. Listen, come on now. It's like, if you've had children in your house, the early mother, whatever, you know, your first baby, second baby, if that child sneezes, mama's dead. Even if they can just cough. Mama's like, she's on the case, right? You know, all of the above, right? You're on the playground. You got all these children playing, blah, blah, blah. Children crying all the time. You know, your mother, i.e. your wife, the mother of the child, she doesn't react. But then she can hear a wail, or even lightly so, in all that crowd of noise on the playground. Where was she at? Where's Yasmin? It's like, because she is sensitive to the negative in the sense of a threat. So that relates emotionally, that relates physically, that relates mentally. She has an orientation to the negative. Why? Because a part of her responsibility in life is to protect the life inside of her domain, right? Okay, but that also applies, that's just a part of her nature, right? So when we as males react in ways that cause her to feel some kind of, you know, what have you, vulnerability, yeah, she will react and respond to that. And if she sees us going in a direction or in a way that's not healthy for the family, the relationship, because they're man focuses on one thing by nature and women focus on another thing by nature, and it's the two working together, you know, in this kind of cha-cha-cha fashion. I hope you can accept that analogy. It's like, okay, then it works. It's a bicycle. You know, you're riding a bicycle. Bicycle built for two, right? So you do that, and that's how it works. Let me give you another picture about this being into it and being into the marriage, let's say. Locked in, right? The ball and chain analogy is based on you're taking a negative view of the obligations that go with and the not-so-easily dispensed of marriage if you are, you know, devoted to it in such a way. Okay, so we talked about the fitna, you know, Satan, right? Here's the reality. You have an iron cylinder, you know, an iron cylinder. It's like just an iron cylinder, and you have a rock that's amorphous. It doesn't have any particular shape, but it is a rock, right? It can be granite or it can be whatever. But a hard rock. Put it into the silver cylinder, right? And you know how you go to Ace Hardware, go to the Home Depot, wherever it is, and they're going to shake up the paint for you. You put the paint can in, and then put it in the machine. The machine shakes that paint up, so it gets all mixed up, right? Okay, so imagine this lead cylinder. It's put onto that machine, and you've got that rough amorphous rock inside of that lead cylinder, the iron cylinder, whatever. And so you put it on that machine, and so that machine is shaking. So that rock that's inside of that cylinder is going to bounce around. But what happened and what is happening in that process is all the rough edges are being taken off of it. All of the rough edges are being taken off, such that when the quote-unquote process is done, that rough edge rock, as it were, it comes out, it's round as a baseball. It's as round as a baseball, right? Because that bumping around and knocking and hard what hits, if you will, what have you, as long as it stays inside that cylinder, then it's going to be smoothed out. And see, that's also, that's what the woman and that's what marriage does for both, not just the male and the female, just not the male versus the female. It does that for both of us. We hang in there. She's going to evolve in ways that she needs to evolve. He's going to evolve in ways that he needs to evolve. Now, listen to the other hadith and put them in this context. One, simple without elaborating, right? Paradise lies at the feet of mother. Paradise lies at the feet of mother. I'm not giving it details. I know we can break words out. Rajul and all that, Adam, all that, you got to get in all that to get to further details. We're not doing that. But the idea, paradise at the foot of a mother, right? So that says a lot. So your getting to paradise has a lot to do with the authority of the female. It has a lot to do with the authority of the female. You know, you have this language, happy wife, happy life, right? It's like, yeah. Hell hath Shakespeare, right? Hell hath no fury like a, I don't know if it's a woman's scorn or a woman scorned. I don't know. It doesn't matter. She can give you hell or she can give you heaven, quote unquote, right? And so it's like it's at the feet of mother. And the prophet, the man, as the prophet, who should I hold in the highest regard? You all know this. Your mother. Your mother, and then your father, right? Don't just think in terms of mother. He's telling us the power of the feminine, the power of the feminine, right? And so you just gotta respect that. I mean, if you don't respect it, well, you know, all you gotta do is just look at what's going on with you. Because if you don't respect it, there's some untowards things happening in consequence of that particular failure in that regard. Look, everybody's situation is particular to them. But you don't know my wife. You don't know. No, I don't. But there is one nature, right? And sometimes when we get tested by the nature of the one to the other, the male to the female to the male, sometimes we just don't make it. And we check out in that regard, and no disrespect for anybody who has had to make their choice, because I do subscribe to a statement. It's not a hadith per se, but it is true. You know, sometimes divorce is not the problem. Sometimes it's the solution. But that's why Allah's prophet, peace be upon him, told us that Allah said, yeah, I hate it, but it's halal. And if that's what it takes, under whatever the circumstances are, it's like, okay, well, maybe I need to be better, but right now I can't handle this, so I got to go. Okay, that's the individual's life, and that's everybody's choice, and you take the consequences of the choices that you make. Okay, so let's move on. So in terms of the man, okay, so we understand that the provision of the woman. So the righteous woman. Right? Righteous woman. One of the earliest writings that I share with Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, advised the Muslims on love and marriage. And he really appreciated it. And I never broadly published it. I had a little small, but you know what happens. Every time I turn around to do this, I never find what I'm looking for. So, it's entitled Advice to Muslims on Love and Marriage. But what it actually was, okay, I don't have it. What it actually was, it was a letter to my wife. Just as we made this transition from the Nation of Islam to Al-Islam. So it was very early on. I mean, I did it on typewriter. And Yolanda is the only woman, mashallah, or anything for that matter, that caused me to ever write poetry, for example, to write letters in that sense. In fact, there's a sister, her name is Candy. She's still around, still connected. Candy saved our relationship in the 11th grade. because I messed up the way, you know, high school boys mess up. And Yolanda, and I ain't talking to him no more, right? So I had to break down, wrote a letter, I couldn't get her to accept this, so I sent Candy as my agent. And Candy accepted because this was her best friend. Candy accepted, take her the letter, you take the letter, and I got straight. And alhamdulillah, I've been straight ever since. That was 1968. Alhamdulillah, so in terms of this letter, Advice to Muslim Love and Man, I'm just going to give you just generic point from it as relates to what you expect from a woman in relationship to you. In that letter, in essence, in principle, I had to come to the point, and we just happened to have a little passing conversation this morning about, because during the transition, Yolanda, we were just coming up and coming through. So she would wear lipstick, she would wear some makeup, et cetera. This is early on. This is obviously the transition, you know, 75, 76, whatever. And it's like that. She did that, you know. And we're just coming out of the Nation of Islam, MGT, FOI, blah blah blah. Yes, Imam, you know, dropped some of these fences and rails and what have you over there. And people had to, you had to find your level. You had to find your level. Like, okay, whew, finally, whew. Whatever. Everybody had their need to relax, you know, in relative terms, right? And so everybody had to find their level. But in the Nation of Islam, we had this idea, and it wasn't correct. And now we know. We used to say that the woman was the moon and the man was the sun. We would say the moon has no light of its own. It only reflects the light of the sun. And so we had been mistakenly given the notion that I am the light and she's a reflection of me. She's a reflection of me. But alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, when the Quran comes and shows us, no, the moon is masculine and the sun is feminine, right? So, وَشَمْسِ وَدُحَاهَا, that's ha, feminine. The light of the sun, feminine, right? قَمَرَهُ, right? Okay, so that flips that paradigm, right? So we had this idea that women are a reflection of us. What's wrong with that? There's another adjective. The adjective might have been a little too strong. No, she's not a reflection of you. No, she's not. She's a person. She's an individual that has her own path to trod. It has her own destiny to realize. It has her own pace of germination and development. It's like, I can't rush your development. This is the essential principle involved in that. Maybe I need to take it to the end before I, you know, drive on. It's sort of like, look, You have your life. You have your way of being. You have your destiny. You have your journey, right? I love you. I love you. This is me essentially talking to her. But like, I love you, and you have your own journey, et cetera, et cetera. And I have my journey, et cetera. And I, despite whatever is going on, the idea is that I have to respect your autonomy. I have to respect your independence. I have to respect your individuality. I have to respect you are a life that has to relate to God and answer to God on your own. You don't answer to God through me. You don't relate to God through me. And you know, I'm just to mention and what many years ago, but there was a point where she had come to realize, because when we first came to the Nation of Islam, she came because of me. She she didn't come because she believed in Yaqub the devil and Farad was God. And it's like, I'm going with you. Is this where we're going? Okay, I'm going with you. It's like, but I'm going to do what we do when we do this thing right here. But I'm here with you, right? And so there was this long period of time where she was there, but she was there through me and with me and because of me, right? But she did come to a point in time where she established her own personal relationship with Allah. So Fahim Shuaib can go crazy, you know, that's not going to stop. Yolanda Shuaib, I'm just using us as an example, that's all. So I was like, that's not going to stop Yolanda Shuaib from making salat and zakat, fasting, blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, this thing is like, this baked in. It's like, boom. Now you trip. You know, if that's what you're going to do, that's fine. But the point is that there was this moment where in this writing that this letter that I wrote to her, it's like, you have your individual life. Yeah, so that was me backing up from saying that you have to be what I want you to be because the bad optics is coming from you related to me. And no, don't think it was just some miniskirt exaggeration kind of thing. No, it wasn't nothing like that. But in the world that we were in, and I'm coming from the lieutenant, woo-woo, so it's like, man, you know, what's going on with your woman, man? So the whole idea that we had, but then reality had to be, it's like, man, it's like, she is a person created by God. Your creation, your resurrection is otherwise except as one. So she has her relationship with Allah. She got to answer for that. She don't answer to me for her relationship to Allah. That's on her. Now, that being said, it does not change my love for her. You know, did not and does not, right? And I could boast on her for another 12 hours, right? But the point is, you have to, the woman, it's just wrong to think that you got to be what I want you to be when I want you to be that, or you ain't right. What? It's like, what book is that in? What Quran is that in? So therefore, we're going to have husbands that have defects, and we're going to have wives that have defects relative to the religion, right? But we also have to respect their relationship to Allah. Now, if you can't live with that, then don't live with it. Just don't live with it. When it becomes too much of a strain, a stress, a anxiety producing for you that they be the way that they are and you being who you are, then, well, that becomes, listen, divorce. We're gonna wind up. We're not gonna start a lot of conversation. You can put comments in the chat or whatever for the YouTube, Facebook, et cetera. Maybe I might click on some of them. You know, life goes on. But in terms of, if you want to have some exchange, some feedback, today's not going to be the day. I'm not going back to Blog Talk for her conversation. I'm just going to let you know. But in terms of making that decision, then that's the decision that every individual has to make for themselves in terms of their level of tolerance for whatever things that align or don't align, and that's just the way it is, because in the end, Allah doesn't take away our free will and compel us to be this way. He just tells us what's the best way. He tells us the best way. He tells us the consequences of what happens if we don't do this way. He said, look at the history of people who did what you're doing or considering doing and see if that's what you really want to do. And, you know, then the individual is left to make their choice. And it's that same kind of autonomy that we have to find the strength to be able to give to our mates. And that's life, you know. There's no other way around it. There seems to be a thread that I dropped in the course of that. But inshallah, we'll get back to it at another time. So let's see. Okay, I said what I said. Yeah, we have to pick it up. Okay, take a screenshot of this right here. So this Kunut, yeah, we'll do this. So those of you who are online, I'm gonna put these notes up here. Go ahead and take a screenshot of that. Speaking in the context of the khutbah that we've heard and what we've talked about. So let's go with that. There's a lot of explanatory stuff in here, but we don't have time for. But in that series, again, like I say, go back to January, February 2019 if you're in the Blog Talk archives. I don't think I was doing Facebook and YouTube at that time. But if you can get to the Blog Talk archives, look up for man like manhood and the death of masculinity in our time, something like that. Manhood is always in the title. You're in that arena when you put in manhood. So maybe you might even be able to go just put Blog Talk Radio Fahim Shuaib manhood. You know, or in masculinity, and maybe the search engine will find it for you and get you started. So Blog Talk Fahim Shuaib manhood or masculinity, anything like that, and I think it'll get you into that arena. So the reason we thought we were going to spend some time with. I relax myself and let Allah, you know, what I believe to be Allah's guidance, take us wherever we go. So that's where we went today. Prophet Ibrahim as a model of Qanitah, we spoke about that, versus Qanitah. So the woman is Qunut, right? The woman is Salihat Qanit, and that's with the soft T, right? And it has a direct relationship to obedience to the will of Allah, the original nature, and longstanding in prayer. But then there's also qanitah, which goes to despairing, abandoning hope, losing courage. And I guess I can say this note, even though I won't elaborate on it. The point is that regarding qanitah and qanitah, hard T, I'll call it, Allah is revealing that there is something about the nature of life as a woman that calls for more qanitah, soft T, as her primary attribute, meaning that you have to be qunut as your primary attribute and all that qunut means in order for her, the woman, to fulfill her life's purpose in creation and to receive the promise of Allah. So she has to, one of the critical things for the woman is to be qanitah and not qanitah. Qanitah is speaking about despairing, right? Abandoning hope, losing courage. Women know. And if we look at the history of these of women of life, the heroic women of all types, whatever, Harriet Tubman, Ida B. Wells, Sojourner Truth, Mary McLeod Bethune, Claire Muhammad, Khadija, radiallahu anha. It's like, do you not think that these women had to have qanitah versus qanitah, not despairing? Ida B. Wells didn't despair. Maybe she had some desperation moments. Harriet Tubman, yes. Mary McLeod Bethune, she's a beautiful story for faith. If you haven't looked in her, you really got to look into it. Khadija, of course, we know. We need to know better. So So for the woman's life, like just like Arujala Kawamuna Alina said, for the man's life, you focus on Kawamuna Alina said. For the woman's life, you focus on Karnit, long-standing in prayer, making the dua, not despairing, right? You get that lockdown. You get that lockdown. Then you're on the path of God. You're on the movement to the power that Allah will give to you for life. And there are many women who have this naturally because Allah has engendered that nature in them. And so, therefore, you're already doing it. So now the goal is to do so consciously. Be righteous and don't despair. You can put it that way. Be righteous and don't despair. My sister, did you hear what I said? Be righteous and don't despair. I think I should say it one more time. It sounds good. I feel like James Brown and Bobby Bird. You like the way that sounds? Be righteous and don't despair. All right, well, that's going to be it for us today, mashallah. So, Take a screenshot of that so you can look into the Arabic of 41:49, 16:120, and then the verses 15:51 through 56, and you're looking for the Qanitah connection. Mashallah. Abraham was one who was righteous and who did this. All right, so let's click through and go on out here. Remember, he said spill it, then he said spell it. You have a challenge. I couldn't figure out. I don't know what it is that you're speaking to. I wasn't paying attention to the board. Greeting to all. So Steve, assalamu alaikum, Fareed, Imam, alhamdulillah, Deshaun, Farad, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah, Jamal Khan, assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah. AK Sabri, it's been a minute, man. It's been a minute. Assalamu alaikum. Good to see your name in the environs. Alhamdulillah, Imam Fareed. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. All right, y'all. That's going to be it for us today. Allah's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Inshallah, ACU Institute. I believe we will have a session tomorrow. That's on our biweekly session. So, check in at 10:30. I don't know if we've changed the actual time on the ongoing announcement, but it is 10:30, not 10 o'clock tomorrow, inshallah. And if you have some suggestions for content, those of you who are subscribers and students to Clear Understanding Institute, go ahead and send them to me in an email and you may be able to take them up. Otherwise, we're going to pick up from wherever it was that we left off last week. I got to check myself. Not last week, a couple of weeks ago. God's peace be on all. Everybody have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.